The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 542. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Mangiomo.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. You already know. No Chris action. He has to do some work stuff. Adam may or may not be doing TV Terminal. We're not sure. And, you know, Brett may or may not show up. We'll see what happens with that. So you're stuck with us tonight. On a very, I'm going to say, not monumental week. Literally the opposite of last week. Last week was explosions everywhere, you know, in the gaming industry. And this week was subdued. Very subdued. As a matter of fact,
Go see Yotain or Megaton?
No, it isn't. I would say it's a ton. And it's funny because that just happened today, you know? But yeah, that's obviously going to be the main thing we're going to discuss here. So yeah, they had a state of play today, 20 minutes or so of Ghost of Yotain. Pretty much giving you all the gameplay breakdown and shit. It was very interesting, I must say. But man, I think you just finished watching it now, right? More or less, you're muted.
In the 20 minutes of us waiting to, you know, start the show, I've actually watched that whole presentation.
Yeah. But yeah.
So it's fresh.
So there you go. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I thought it looked good, but I also feel like at the same time, it doesn't feel like an improvement over the last game. Like, it almost just looks like it just feels a lot like the same game, just with a different character.
Graphics-wise, right?
Yeah, like graphic-wise, it still looks like about as good as Ghost of Tsushima looked like, which is not a bad-looking game. It just doesn't feel like... It's not like when you look at the difference between Death Stranding and Death Stranding 2. Like, you definitely see that they're pushing it a lot more. The characters look a lot better. But it just feels like the same fidelity as the previous. You know, I guess it doesn't need to be that much more, but at the same time, I'm sort of expecting a little better than what we saw before, you know? A little bit less like feeling like like an upgrade as opposed to a legitimate, you know, something better than.
Yeah.
But, you know.
This is something, you know, I told you, you know, before we went on air, but I think that's just to be expected nowadays, you know? I know I have been saying this since the PS2 generation, but I think it's actually real now. We have hit a graphical plateau, right? This game looks very good, right? But it doesn't look miles better than the last one. But honestly, and I'm the graphics guy, right? That's not what stood out to me with this game. What stood out to me was the fact that I'm like, oh, it's kind of more the same, you know, gameplay-wise. I know there's some, you know, improvements and stuff, and we'll get into that. But it just seems like more the same, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I don't know if I was expecting more or if I'm just being hypercritical. I'm not sure, but I don't know. It just seems like literally Ghost of Tsushima 2. Even though I think I would have preferred that because they have a new protagonist now, new setting in Japan and everything. But yeah, look again. Mm-hmm. It looks good. Obviously, I'm not gonna say it looks bad because it doesn't. It looks really nice. I was also disappointed that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, they didn't give us any like technical breakdown. Like, what do you get in PS5 Pro? You know, like I didn't see anything like that, or did I miss something? I saw the presentation. I was waiting for that to pop up. Like, here are the improvements on PS5 Pro mode. So none of that. Okay. Mm-mm. That's disappointing.
No, it didn't show any of that stuff. All it did was just sort of gave you the game itself. And I mean, I guess it's also maybe this game is tilted toward the original PlayStation. I guess what you're going to get this time around is a better better resolution, draw distance, significant. Kind of like the way Death Stranding 2 is.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like you put it in, both versions, the PlayStation, normal and the PlayStation Pro, there's really that not that much of a difference. So you get some draw distance stuff, so just might as well put it in the fidelity, not 60 FPS, so fidelity. It's sort of looking like that with this one too, where it's just like, looks good, but it doesn't get any better.
Yeah, I need that Mark Cerny breakdown.
It also doesn't look like to me like it's using any sort of ray tracing. It looks like it's baked stuff just like the original.
Yeah. Yeah. Carlos, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, funny enough, I had the exact same reaction Manny had when he started talking about this. It looked the same, like graphics-wise. It just looked the same. So I was expecting a jump. Like you mentioned, there's a Death Stranding 2 jump. At least with the characters, it was vastly improved. So that's the first thing that I noticed. Everything else looks good. I mean, like Tony mentioned, it's more of the same. But I mean, I don't know how much more they could have changed it without it not being a quote-unquote ghost game anymore. I forgot the 5 years development time for this?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. 2020 is when the first game came out. So a little under 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like the type of game that I was expecting. A lot of those things that they added with the, obviously they rebrought the Kurosawa mode. They had a couple of other ones, the Samurai Champloo mode, which is pretty cool. Ghost of Tsushima to me was a good game. I wasn't as big of a fan as you guys were. You guys hyped the fuck out of that game.
Yeah, well, you don't see us be hyping this one now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm not like you guys, or maybe like Tony. Tony, I don't know, like he always talks like he's always like whelmed with it.
Yeah, with this one, yeah. Yeah, because the first one,
like you're not hyped or excited or anything.
Not really, you know. The first one, remember, that was my game of the year that year. Something that the Last of Us fans didn't like very much, which is interesting because that was also a PlayStation game. I'm like, I like a PlayStation game, guys. Why are you mad at me? You know?
Because you didn't pick the one that they wanted you to pick.
Yeah, fucking Last of Us fan. We're going to talk about the Last of Us in a little bit. So I got them mad again, which is pretty easy to do. Very easily to trigger these people.
What'd you do, Ray?
Yeah, but we'll get to that. So, Rich, I know you're already pre-ordering like 5 copies, right, of this game?
That's a very interesting statement. Back.
Yeah, what's up, Brett?
What's up? You can send mine back. You can get 4. It's fine.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, man.
So, let me go ahead and go real quick. Surprisingly, although it's not a surprise, I agree 1,000% with what Manny and Carlos said. It looks like it's exactly the same game, just a different protagonist. And again, I understand Ghost of Tsushima was a success, so obviously I guess they didn't want to change anything that might anger some people, although it is still a different protagonist. You know, I know people wanted Jin to return, and I believe Carlos, he made a comment when he said he doesn't know what more they could have done. Well, I have an idea for Carlos. I personally would have liked the ability to play as both characters, Jin and this other character, and switch back and forth. But obviously they can't do that because, you know, it takes place much later than the first game. So, overall, yeah, it looked good. I thought it was very interesting when I looked online and I see everybody's like, oh, this is a certified Game of the Year contender.
Oh, yeah, I'm already seeing that, yeah.
So we'll see about that, because, I mean, there's other stuff that came out this year. There's still other games to come out. I'm pretty sure it will be in the conversation. But to me, yeah, it's just more of the same Ghost of Tsushima. And to quote what Tony said, he said, I have already pre-ordered 5 copies. Absolutely not, Tony. You already know how I will be getting access to this game.
Yes, of course. Yeah, and so will I. Let's just be real here, yeah. Reggie, he's pre-ordering it like crazy, but
there you go. Yeah, yes.
But Reggie's not hyping things up anymore because he thinks that'll get me to get into whatever he's into, but doesn't work like that. Reggie doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work like that, Reggie.
Yeah. Cause he, you know, little bit of insider baseball thing. Reggie tried his damnedest to get me into X-Men 97. Didn't work, obviously. So now he's taking the opposite approach. Now he's not hyping anything, not realizing that the internet exists. and I'm seeing all this stupid shit that he would have said. You know. Anyway, that's besides the point.
There is no way around it. Tony is, and I mean this from the bottom of my little black heart, the most stubborn person I have ever met. And this is coming from probably the second most stubborn person that I have ever met. So, like, respect.
When it comes to Tony, have to let him find his own way. There's nothing that you, if Tony is already dead set on something, if he does end up watching it, it'll already be shaded by his dislike of it.
Yeah, we're talking about the Superman movie, by the way. I didn't even know we're kind of going off topic here. Anyway,
we're talking about Ghost of Yote. You know, Tony's going to utterly hate it.
Well, I don't know that. Like, I'll probably end up playing it, but I'm already not excited. But I'll probably end up playing it. You know,
I will say this. I don't.
Not that I won't,
but there's nothing about it that says to me, holy crap, I need to play this. Right now, like, what do we got? We just have a sort of semblance of the story. When previously with Ghosts who have actual some history, right? This one definitely feels a lot more fantastical than the previous, whereas, you know, they're talking about the legitimate, you know, taker of Tsushima Island by the Mongol.
Yeah.
So I feel like there might be a little bit of that missing, because now we are in fantasy as opposed to before.
Yeah, now we're mainland Japan.
Yeah, what's up, Brett?
Well, now we're mainland Japan, and we're not like, and I know the first one wasn't strictly an actual historical figure. I know it was kind of based based on.
Yeah, it was basically called historical fiction, right? Fiction that happens in a historical setting. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. kind of like the Assassin's Creed game. But here's the thing that I don't understand, right?
Before they went off the rails.
Right. Well, and here's a lot of the problems with these games seem to be like who the character is, and a lot of people get up in arms of whether they're male or female. Honestly, like, I don't mind female protagonists. I'll admit it. I like looking at pretty things. I make video girls in video games when I make character creator, right? Like, because usually the dude outfits are just so awfully god awful. Like
Monster Hunter, I'm looking at you.
Monster Hunter. I had you in mind when I was thinking that. So I think if you're playing as, you know, John Everyman saves Japan, right? Like, why not let you just design your John Everyman or your John Everywoman, right? Like, you're literally playing as a figure who fades into history. Why not let them just be whatever the person wants to make them? And that way, if you're playing an Arthur Morgan, right? Or if you're playing a I'm in trouble coming up with some other one. If you're playing a well-written character, an Ezio, if you will, right? Then that's great. But a lot of times these games, they're not portraying a big character arc or really distinctive characters, right? They're just kind of filler characters. They're not Nathan Drake, right? And so if you're gonna have a Connor in a game, just don't put that character arc in there. Just put, let me make the character and let a bunch of stuff happen to the character that I make. Don't, like, Assassin's Creed 3 made me so goddamn angry. Because I fucking hated Connor the entire time. And like, that's the problem that we run into. Yeah. He's the worst. He's just the fucking worst. Right? And then you find out the bloodline that he came from and just... Anyway, I'm getting off
top. Haytham was a much more interesting character in that game.
Right?
I would have much rather played Haytham than the noble savage stereotype that is fucking Connor. You do have the ability to customize the way Yote character looks, but I mean, at least from the customizations, I feel like for her, they really didn't. They're kind of weak. Like, I didn't see anything that said to me. But then again, like, the way Tsushima worked was like you could switch out the mask and then change the color. It seems like they do some of that, and she's got her own, you know, Kitsune mask.
It's like you guys said, like, that's not an evolution. I feel like even a character creation would have been like an evolution or a step forward. Like, I don't know her character arc. She could have a really great story. She could. Mm-hmm. Or she could just be like, hey, let's do a female protagonist because everybody loves female. Like, it could be some weak bullshit. It could be, a really great story. But the problem is, really great stories are kind of few and far between. So the chances of this being, like, even, I want to say the story of the first one was good, but it wasn't fantastic.
I mean, it was like, to be honest, it was like, it's very much a samurai story, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's
a revenge story.
It's the revenge story, you know, and this one is also the revenge. I feel like, at least with the first game, you know, you had a little bit of that history island, you know. Obviously, again, we're playing in like a fantasy of a fantasy of that. But I liked that idea where, okay, yes, some of this is based on real things. I don't get that from this one. Like, a lot of it is just like, you know, now we're really going into fantasy samurai, you know,
that's a good point.
It's prettier Assassin's Creed Shadows.
A prettier Assassin's Creed Shadows. It's weird. I think, to be honest, this is kind of weird to say, but I think Assassin's Creed Shadow looks better than...
That's wild. That's wild. I think that game looks awful.
I think the fidelity of the characters look a lot better in the Shadows. It feels like a weird, like, last-gen game.
Yeah, Rich, I know you had something to say about that.
I think that was that's a very interesting statement. And to piggyback on that, I do want to say the fact that the storyline is very similar, that narrative about the female character getting revenge, that exact story is in Assassin's Creed Shadows. So that was another reason why when I saw this, I'm like, okay, so how is this going to be different? Obviously, this is going to be more authentic because you know what they did already with Ghost of Tsushima. But I don't know. That's that. I didn't want to say that though. I got triggered when you said Shadows. I got triggered, so I had to make a comment about that.
Like, how dare you say it looks? I don't know. I feel, you know, for us, all the issues that Shadows has, I feel like the fidelity of that game felt more. It felt more next gen than what this game is. It feels like we just took a PlayStation 4 game and more high res. We just called it. That's the least way this one.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
That's what we've been doing for a decade.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a problem. I don't disagree with you what you're saying about Ghost of Tsushima, but I don't agree with the Assassin's Creed part. I think that game looks awful, but that's me. I think that game looks like dog shit. Were you saying, Brett, about something for a decade now?
Oh, we've just been making shit just look slightly nicer for a decade.
Like, yeah. Brett, what do you think about it? I want to get your take on this because, you know, the first time I said this was during the PS2 era, and I kept being proven wrong every subsequent generation. I kept saying, we've peaked. Graphics have plateaued. I think we actually have hit that point, and I think we hit it last generation because things are just, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not seeing a huge shift anymore, you know?
So I think there's a couple interesting points. I think we have hit a graphical peak, and now it is a thing based on talent. I think Elden Ring was beautiful, not because of its graphics, but because of its art direction, right? Like, most games are running in, like, Unreal right now, which does, like, 80% of the work for you. I can't say that. I don't know enough about developers that. It does a large chunk of the work for you. Unreal 5.
Just real quick, because somebody in the chat's going to say something. This game was not made in Unreal. I know you're not insinuating that, but I know some motherfuckers are going to go to chat. This fucking made in Unreal. Yes, we know that. We know that. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like,
you
can go on and make a game pretty easily. You can buy marketplace assets that are already fully rendered, high definition assets, and throw together a game from licensed assets. Like, you can do that easier than you could before. But doing good art direction is still something that I think takes a talented hand to get right. Especially with, like, God, when as AI starts to get involved in this shit, like, be like, oh cool, this game looks like AI. So having good art direction, not just flop homogenized into an amalgam as goo, is I think gonna be important. But, like, the thing that really disappoints me is, like, we all know in a samurai game, we want to be able to just chop the living hell out of fucking everything, right? Like, they made that Metal Gear game that you were supposed to be able to, like, cut through everything.
Oh, Revengeance.
That's the only time I've seen that, right? Like, why? Like, I want to see a ghost game where I can, like, be hiding inside a straw shack as, like, a guard walks by and then, like, unsheath, strike through the straw of the hut or whatever and kill the fucking dude, right? I want to see sword fights, lopping, you know, torches in half and things like that. Like, I don't understand why we haven't seen these small interactive improvements. And I guess we have a little bit just, and I know I've beaten the destructible environment bandwagon to death, but like, I still don't understand why we don't have more interactive environments. Especially when, and I guess I'm answering my own question here, because you can just throw together some shit in, you know, Unreal 5 for a lot cheaper. You have to build your own engine for that. But like, has it not occurred to anybody that maybe people in a samurai game swinging a sword want to be able to literally cut everything in fucking half?
They had a lot of that in Shadows. You can cut bamboo and all kinds of other things.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have those mini games you get do that in this game too, with the stupid bamboo shit.
Yeah, they have the bamboo thing, but like in Shadows, you had to, you could cut through like little like environmental bamboo shoots or doors and all kinds of things were there. You could still cut people's arms off in the original, like in the original Ghost, so that's still there too.
Yeah, yeah, like, I think I didn't see
like you could, like, you know, if you go into an enemy camp and there's a tent there, right? You can't chop through the tent and get the guy in the inside of the tent.
Yeah, and that just seems weird to me. I'm like, I think it was Dead Island, or one of the zombie games was really focusing on like, oh, when you hit the person here, when you hit the zombie here, they get damaged here. If you knock off their jaw, knock off their jaw. Like, I didn't see a lot of games like, yeah, like it seemed like if certain criteria were met, you cut off a dude's arm, but like, it didn't necessarily feel like if you slash through a guy's arm, it got cut off at that point. You know, I don't know, man. I'd like to see some more of that stuff. But yeah, the reason games feel like they've just been getting prettier and prettier, but we've kind of hit a plateau, is because, yeah, that's where we're at. And I think that we have really excellent tools that are widely available to everybody to make games look good. But I think it still takes a lot of talent to make games look great. And I think it's more art direction than graphics.
Yeah. Brian, did you get to check this thing out? And if you did, what are your thoughts?
Yep. While you guys were talking, I should watch the whole thing.
Nice.
And I realized that I actually don't care that much about this game. So it's kind of funny. But I can see where you guys are coming from. I can sense, again, I can understand the sentiments being said. My general thought is, it looks like the same game. Again, I didn't play the first game, so I don't know. But it looks like it probably would play something similar to it. I guess those who liked it would enjoy it, but honestly, I'm just like, I don't care. Wushu comes out next week. Give me that. And also, I find it funny how in the discussion, we managed to veer off the topic twice. That, so I guess that goes to show how much care we have about the game.
Yeah. You know, to your point, Brian, we talked about, you know, the Xbox layoffs for like an hour and a half straight, never veered off course once. Right. You know, even with the whole middle manager shit, that was still on topic. With this one, you're right. We keep wandering. That tells you something, you know?
No, I mean, it's, you know, the game is all about exploration. So, yeah, it's good to wander.
Yeah. I mean, they say that in the trailer. Oh, you go where you want. We're going where we want, you know? But yeah, again, we're not saying that this game's going to be trash or anything. It could be great. Nah. It could be great. You never know. But right now, just the initial impression, I think, one of those rare throwdown, consensus moments, we kind of agree that, you know, not that impressed. And ironically,
which is just super weird.
Very weird, isn't it? Because we don't really have a consensus on throwdown most of the time.
Well, no, I mean, just it's literally just a follow-up to a game that we kind of universally seemed at least generally pleased with. The sequel just kind of comes with like, it looks like just the same thing. And after a long development time and just kind of it just it doesn't blow anybody out of the water anymore. I just find that interesting.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. All right, man, if we're done with that, we'll move on to another PlayStation game. And this is the one that got me in trouble on Twitter, because it's The Last of Us. Again, again, Sony fucking loves milking this franchise. So now there is a free update, so you don't have to pay for it. They're going to release a free update for The Last of Us Part 2 that puts the game in chronological order. If you remember the original game, you played as Ellie, then you played as Abby, and it was two separate stories, even though there were obviously parts that connected with each other. This one, you'll actually be able to play it in chronological order. And this just goes to show, and you get some fucking Nathan Drake skins or whatever. But again, I don't know if I brought this up on the show. I must have, but I'll bring it up again because it's relevant to this. Like a few months ago, I was in the office, you know, and I asked somebody, hey, what is the genre or generation defining game for the PlayStation 5? And as a joke, he said, The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered. I didn't laugh. I'm like, that's actually correct, because what does that game represent? It's Sony and other companies just milking the past, not choosing to move forward. And this is yet another example of that. Instead of giving us something new, I know we're getting Ghost of Yote, and no, you motherfuckers on Twitter, I don't give a fuck if it's exclusive on PlayStation. Death Stranding doesn't count, because that's going to be coming out on PC and probably Xbox eventually, you know? Oh, you weren't happy with Death Stranding? This is so stupid, you know? Because the tweet was, I'm like, you know, if I didn't know any better, I would think the only franchise PlayStation has is The Last of Us. Woo! They came after your boy, you know? Oh, what are you talking about? Did they have Ghost of Yote? They had... I'm like... Don't take it literally. Like, my point is that they're milking the shit out of this franchise. But there is something about Last of Us fans.
All of those are,
yeah.
All of those are just like, hey, you guys like that trick? Let me do those again. Like, it's Ghost of Yote, second Ghost game, right? Death Stranding 2, second Death Stranding game, and then this. Like, none of it's new. It's just, it was new last time, but now it's just, hey, let's do that again.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where, like, Marge gets this really expensive, like, dress. And because of the dress, she's able to go to, like, you know, high society parties. And then she keeps reusing that same dress because obviously she can't afford another one. And she keeps cutting it up, reusing it over and over and over again. We're seeing the same shit here, you know? This is awful, bro.
Tony's like, it's the same fucking dress.
Yeah, it's the same dress. You know?
It's like, dude, bro, it's like eating a Taco Bell. You're like, oh, no, I'm going to eat a Taco Bell today, but I'm going to get a Crunchwrap this time. You're like, it's the same seven ingredients, man.
Yeah. So, Rich, what's your thoughts on this, bro?
Well, first and foremost, let me give a shout out to our very good friend, Mr. Carlos Romero, because he did tell me he will be downloading this update because, he really enjoyed the second season of The Last of Us. So, Carlos, you can let us know about this in your, in a future throwdown episode. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I heard he's already shipping for season three.
Wait, Rich. So you mean the second season of the show or the second game of the series?
I'm talking about the second season of the show. You were so inspired. You said, "Okay, let me go back and play the game," because that's what Sony wants everybody to. They want everybody to have that feeling. But no, to answer your question, Tony, if it was possible for Naughty Dog to get an award where they can just milk a game for an entire generation, they would get that award without a doubt, because they haven't really done anything this generation. I know everybody is talking about this Intergalactic game that's supposedly coming out next year, but when you think about it, all the other Sony studios, Insomniac has been the only one putting out games this entire generation. You know, every other studio, you'll get a game every so often. But in the case of Naughty Dog, they haven't released anything new this entire generation. That's why I think I did laugh. You know, you said that the guy said The Last of Us Part II as a joke. No, he is that is the correct answer. That is the only game they've been talking about this generation. So that's very accurate.
Yeah, no, absolutely accurate. And Rich, I think you also hit on something I hadn't considered. That award you just named, that fake award, will be a real award because Jeff Keighley's going to try to find some way of mentioning this game at the awards show. It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, the ongoing game.
Yeah, because remember, it's like, I swear they made up a category last year just to get The Last of Us there somehow. You know, it's insane.
I mean, I don't think you guys are being quite fair. It's also the only thing Sony Entertainment's really been talking about this year.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all we're getting. So yeah, if you want to play The Last of Us 2, game of the decade, according to some people. also genre defining, yeah, show of the century, genre defining, like, this is it. You get to play it again. Fucking insane.
No, I mean, Beyond Two Souls did something fairly similar, but as I remember, they didn't wait till another generation to do that.
You mean remaster, like two remasters, then a chronological mode, like...
Yeah, they literally put the chronological mode in the first version of it, and then when they re-released it again, it had the thing. They didn't. So, in other words, anybody who played the original Last of Us Part 2, right? You're not going to get this.
Well, this update, I'm assuming it's like an option, you know?
You're not even going to get this if you decide. Like, if you played the original one, you have to own this silly remaster version in order to get remix mode.
Yeah,
a little bit messed up.
Well, how is it? If you own the game, it's a free update.
I'm saying if
you own the remaster
from Last of Us Part 2, PlayStation 4 to 5.
What do you mean? Say that again.
Like I said, Last of Us Part 2, the original one, you don't get this. Is this only for the PS5 version? Yeah.
Oh, yes, so yes, yes. You're right. Yes, yes, yes.
So if you've already the only version of Last of Us you own is you can't even see this thing. This is silly.
Yeah.
You're
right.
One of their remasters.
Like I said, Beyond Two Souls didn't wait till Beyond Two Souls PlayStation 4 came out in order to do the remix mode. They did it in the 3 version.
Yeah.
And then they brought it over to the next one.
Yeah. But I could be wrong about this. They charge you like $20, right? To upgrade?
From 4 to 5?
Yeah. Do they charge you? Mm-hmm. Let's look this up. Talking.
I don't think it's free.
I don't think that's the remastered version, though. I think that's just the upgrading to the PlayStation 5 version.
Yes. Yeah, but it says PS5. It doesn't say... what the fuck is this? Because again, Sony's not explaining this. Does it say remastered here? Let me. This is what it says. A new update for The Last of Us. Yeah, it is remastered. Yes, it is remastered. A new update for The Last of Us remastered, and that is a separate one than. Oh, yeah.
The Last of Us.
Let me ask the panel this.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that putting it in chronological mode is actually gonna?
No.
You don't, anything no, to the narrative?
You don't have to change. You don't even have to finish the question. No, it's not. It's just more of the same shit, just in a different sequence, you know?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah,
Now you play all the Joel stuff early on.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, the only part I liked about the story is kind of the Quentin Tarantino version of events that you went through, right? Like, and especially, like, spoiler for people who don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be ready to play as Abby that early. I mean, I didn't enjoy playing as Abby when I did the entire time, but I don't really want to jump back and forth between that shit, especially so close after you go through again. Spoilers, 2-1. Especially that close after Joel's death, man. Like, how close did they cut that shit in?
I don't know. Go ahead.
I just have one question for Naughty Dog. Is there an option where Joel survives? If not, then I don't care.
So here it is, the upgrade to The Last of Us Part 2 remastered for those who already own the PS4 version is $10. So there you go,
bro. I'm with Richard Bailey Jr. here. You give me a version of Last of Us where I can save Joel and hunt down Abby.
Now that is appealing. Yep. Yes, that is appealing. and I'm pretty sure I said this on the show. And again, this game's fucking 5 years old. We're not spoiling anything. The only thing that kept me going through those 8 hours that I had, that I was forced to play as Abby, the only thing that kept me going was, at least I know at the end of this, when I get back to playing as Ellie, I'm going to kill this fucking bitch. And I was denied that. Bro. I was denied what I had been waiting for. I was like, at least I will suffer through this bullshit because I know I'm going to get to kill this bitch in the end. Nope. That not only did they deny me, the player, they deny Ellie. You know? It's like, come on, bro.
I've gone on the rant about how this is just terrible writing.
It is.
It goes against the whole grain of the idea of when you seek revenge, you dig two graves, right? Like, this spits in the face of the idea of the monster to build the world that they're not fit to go in, which is like a classic fucking theme, and it's a classic fucking literary theme for a goddamn reason, right? Like, it's just the idea that you don't necessarily just get to come back from something like that, especially when you're doing it just to seek revenge. If you're doing it to defend somebody you love, like, Joel's kind of on the edge of that. That's why it's kind of ambiguous, because he was trying to save somebody he loves, right? But straight revenge. We've all played Red Dead, right? Like, just straight revenge digs two graves. You don't get a life after that. And I don't get where this fucking game gets off trying to go against the grain of that idea, just saying it's subversive just to be some fucking subversive, right? Like, yeah, you could do something intentionally bad, and that's different than other people have done it, sure. I don't know if I call that fucking genius or subversive. Anyway, I'm that rant over.
No. The thing is, it's actually, I may piss you off, because it's actually worse than what you just described. That happens to Ellie, because she's trying to get revenge, too. She's trying to kill the person who killed Joel. And in the end, she loses everything. That's the classic way of doing a revenge story, right? But the other person, Abby, who tried to get revenge, she gets off and gets to live another day. Fine and dandy. Ellie loses everything. Abby's okay. Or at least she has the chance to build something new, right? So the main protagonist that you remember from the first game is the one that's ultimately fucked over. And then the one that killed the protagonist of the first game gets a chance to start a new life. Come on, how is that satisfying? But that's like you said, fucking
New York. It's an artistic subversion of the expectation. It's
horseshit. You know?
It's like telling a classic samurai story backwards, where the samurai and the wolf cub, like the samurai and cub thing, where like, the cub is murdered by an evil lord and the samurai is imprisoned at the end. Like, yeah, that'd be fucking subversive because it's a dumb fucking idea.
Yeah.
Nobody wants it and it makes people unhappy. You've been subversive. End of Game of Thrones. That shit was subversive. Was it good? No.
Yeah. And to prove your point, normies reacted the exact same way that gamers did to this fucking story. The same way. You know, so it wasn't like gamers were being ignorant. It's just bad storytelling, you know, and that's something everybody can identify with, because at your core as a human, you know what makes a good or bad story. Right. So to some degree, some people may not be as like centered or whatever. But generally speaking, the story structures exist because they kind of speak to the human soul. Right. That's why they've been developed for thousands of years. Right. There's a certain way we do things. And when you go against that, very rare when it works. It works sometimes, but rarely does it work. And it certainly didn't fucking work with The Last of Us 2. We had this proved twice already by two different audiences, you know? Anyway, let me stop ranting about this fucking game. Fuck The Last of Us 2. And fuck the fans too, you know? I can't stand those people, man.
Damn.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go move over to some other happier news. We got to talk about Halo Studios.
Halo Studios. No.
Not here at all.
Oh, man. See, Brett, I'm being subversive, too. Dystopian. I'm being subversive, too.
That was a good one. That was classic misdirection.
Did they rename themselves to Car Wreck Studios?
Damn! So this is what it says. The first part of this is not really the story. It's the second part. Halo Studios was hit by Microsoft and Xbox's layoffs. Developer said, and here's the interesting part. A developer says nobody at Halo Studios is really happy about the quality of the next Halo game. Uh-oh. Now, obviously, this is a report. Take it how you will. But yeah, they were not happy with that email that Phil Spencer sent out. The one that he really sent out to investors. You know, they weren't happy about that. I got to read this quote. He goes, I'm personally super pissed that Phil's email to us bragged about how this was the most profitable year ever for Xbox, the same breath as pulling the lever on the layoffs. I wasn't sure what part of that I was supposed to be proud about. Damn, son. And then he goes on to say, or they go on to say.
Go ahead. Didn't that thing say, like, I feel like, maybe I'm being crazy here a little bit, but I think that the entire context of that was they said that they reached those numbers by being willing to make hard decisions and sacrifice things to be able to run lean. And on that note, they are cutting down on their staff, blah, 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 blah. Like, It's not like, congratulations, you did the best job ever. Oh, by the way, you're fired. Like, it didn't actually read like that when I went and actually read it myself. It read like, we have been successful by following this business plan of trying to cut out basically the fact. I forget exactly how they said it. And on that note, you know, we're following Xbox's example and cutting out layers of management to run leaner. So it seems like they were attributing their success on their willingness to make the difficult decisions, not saying congratulations on doing so well, you're fired.
Yeah, but that's how they read it.
Read it, but it was written. But it was written like, you're a sandbag, and we're only going to succeed by cutting you loose.
Yeah. But either way, if you're an employee, I fully understand why you would be upset about that, you know?
Oh, I 100%. Like, it's be upset by being let go. But also, again, like, I'm going to be really interested in the weeks to come to see, like, who is speaking up about this and what projects they were working on. Because, and I would really like somebody to hold me accountable to this. Some of the accountability room, like, throw it at me and, like, somebody show me a game that got scaled back or affected by this that was going well, like, you know, like Halo Studios, like nobody there was happy with how it was going. Everything that got cut back on was delayed, late, in development hell, or reportedly everybody who was dealing with it did not like it or enjoy it, or the heads of the company themselves left because they knew what a train wreck this thing was. Leaving the rest of the studio just kind of aimlessly floating around. Like, I didn't see even some of the layoffs to like Call of Duty, right? Like, I wish Adam were here because like he had been talking about issues that Call of Duty's been having for a while, lots of mismanagement. Activision Blizzard, yeah, they need to fucking cut some of the managers out of that studio because they are ruining their legacy. Like, I just, somebody please tell me someone that I can like point to and definitively be like, hey, and I don't mean last time. I'm not talking about this specific round. The last time I was really, really pissed about the fucking what was that? The music fucking game, Manny. We both played
Hi-Fi
it.
Rush. I
had trouble thinking of it at the moment.
Hi-Fi Rush.
Hi-Fi Rush. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fucking bullshit. I'm not talking about it. I'm specifically talking about this time, right? And I think I said on the last time, and I want to make it clear again, the reason I'm pissed about that is because I think that they fired their artists before they fired their creatives before they fired their management. And that pisses me off, especially if you had redundant management. They're the ones getting in the way of all the games. By all the leaks that we've heard, it's been that people keep getting in the way and people keep changing the goalposts and changing the direction of the game. And they don't like this or they don't like that. And they don't want to hand off creative power. And then you see like 32 people and a dog leave Ubisoft and go make a killer fucking game. Right. Like, and why did they make a killer fucking game? Cause they didn't have people breathing down their necks. Right. Like it pisses me off that it went in this order, but this last time I do have to say, I'm having trouble seeing the truly innocent, you know, that's not even fair. Cause the people who lost their job, they are innocent. They it does suck. That sucks to be them no matter what. Not saying no empathy there. But what I am saying is if the fat had to be cut from somewhere, it's just cut from a lot of projects that weren't doing well. Can we at least acknowledge that?
I'm not going to acknowledge that because, and I'm trying to be careful here, because I know of some studios that they were doing well, hitting all their goals, and all of a sudden one day Microsoft, you're done. Like the studio didn't do anything wrong. They were meeting.
Last time?
Yeah, that was last time. But the point is, with this time, obviously we don't know. But I also don't want to jump to that conclusion just because we obviously the only information we have to go on is what, you know, basically, if you're going to make an assumption of what's happening now, you have to use the past as reference. So based on what Microsoft has done before, cutting off studios for no fucking reason other than like, let's just trim the fat. You know, I can't just assume that every single person that got cut needed to be cut. I'm not going to make that assumption. I'm pretty sure some did, for sure, but I'm not going to make that like that next step. Like everybody that got cut deserved to be cut. I'm not going to do that.
I mean, okay, I'm not okay. First of all, I'm painting with very broad strokes here, so don't take that Yeah. Who literally, I'm not saying literally everybody that got cut. I'm saying that people got cut from projects that were unsuccessful.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, what about the
Forza? Everything
game?
That's that
a,
I hear,
that's a pretty successful.
Yeah, that is true. Experience. Yeah, Mortal for turn 10. That game, you know, like maybe Forza Motorsport is taking too long, but that's one of the pillars of Xbox that just got cut, you know?
I mean, that's kind of what I'm asking for. Like, do we know where the new what the deal with the new Forza is? Like,
we
that's
don't know.
A likely contender. I'm asking genuinely here. I'm not being like,
oh yeah, that's my answer. We don't know. That's my answer. We don't know.
The joke with that Forza is that they essentially made a service game and they pretty much cut themselves out of making new games.
Oh man.
Oh okay. Well, like I know Project Blackbird looks fucking awful.
Oh, do you remember that? Yeah.
Never take money by mismanaging ESO. They could clearly not handle the load. And like, if they had left it as it was, they were running the risk of probably driving ESO into the ground. Like their player base has dropped by over 50%. It is bad, and that is a huge moneymaker for them because Fallout 76 ain't doing great, baby. So their live service games are having a huge problem since they've moved off, and they were doing an extraction shooter, which it's.
Obviously, we need extraction shooters.
Yeah, we need a million more of those. The market isn't fully saturated with that. Like, look, if I were an executive in that situation and I had to make some tough decisions, Project Blackbird would probably be on my list because, like, they started that game, 6 years ago and it's still not out. And apparently, it was still not looking great. And now the market is saturated. Like, bro, if you could have gotten this game out 2 years ago and it looked good, like I'm sure you originally wanted to, that would have been a thing. But it is, you know, there comes a point where, and I think this is honestly, if you ask me, this is kind of a weird overreaction to Redfall, right? Because I think Redfall, they're like, you know what, let's invest money in it, let's let it cook, let's throw it out there. And they got such a visceral reaction, they came to the conclusion that no, burnt toast will ruin our reputation. It is better to secretly throw that shit in the trash than to serve it to somebody. Even saying like, hey, we're not thrilled with this. No, they like everything that needs to come out needs to be like, if you look at the stuff they've been putting out, you have to imagine like the quality of the stuff that they've been trashing.
I don't think this is as much predetermined or pre-coordinated as it seems, because I think this was more of this was more an initiative from the top guys at Microsoft where they're like, yeah. Hey, yeah. Phil, you gotta lower down some of this budget. And, you know, Phil and the team were like, okay, so where do we trim the fat? And that's where a lot of those studios, and I do agree, some of those studios did seem like they weren't doing so well. So that's probably why they got the axe. Was it all of them? I'm not sure.
I'm just saying every one of them has had controversy surrounding them. Controversy in the form of their game is in developer hell, or it's taking too long, or it's spending too much money, or it's getting really bad reviews.
That's literally every Microsoft studio.
Touché.
And I feel like it's one of those things where they're like, okay, well the upper room is telling us to you know cut $10 million of budget from you know this fiscal year or this quarter. It's like, where are we gonna do it? I was like, is turning a profit? Probably not. Or maybe they're going even. And it's like, oh, can they cost a lot? So can we just get rid of them? And it's like, I guess that's how. I feel like that's how more the decisions would be going. Like,
you don't think they kick it off to Phil Spencer and like they would the managers of those leads? But like I kind of feel like the department managers would be the ones doing the layoff. Judging, and I don't know a lot about how corporate structure works, other than you know watching my dad muddle through that shit for years, but. I think oftentimes it's handed down to the heads of the departments.
Bray, you're roboting a little bit. Uh-oh.
See. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, okay. Keep talking for a little bit. Let's see.
All right. What I understand, orders are handed down from the heads of departments to make the cuts. So, like, yes, you're right. They would say, Phil, you need to cut this by this much. And Phil would probably be the one to look at each studio and say, you know, we either need to cut this much out of your budget or shut down the studios entirely. But I don't know, man, like he may have even handed that down to, you know, subordinates below him saying like, okay, you need to save this much money here. You need to save this much money here. You need to save this much money here. So yeah, I don't think the idea that you know, somebody from Microsoft headquarters came to the gaming division and without knowledge of what they were doing or talking about started making cuts. No, they sent, you know, orders down the line, and those orders eventually reached those places. And if an entire studio wasn't shuttered, they were told you need to cut 20% of your personnel. And then those studios decided who those men were. Like, that's how every business, corporate business I've ever seen works with their termination. And I say that because I used to find my dad like awake at 2 a.m. with his head in his hand because they made him lay off people, like people he knew personally. And it fucking broke him. I don't think he was really well suited to doing corporate stuff and would do even worse as it is right now. But like, that motherfucker knew the names and family of everybody that worked for him. He actively tried to help and mentor people. It's just, there are good managers, but I also, you know, heard a really bad manager. I heard my dad interact and have to deal with bad managers. I had heard my dad have to reprimand managers below him for doing a shit job and not letting him know the situation he needed to fix things. Like, there is a whole cascade of minutiae to it. And so I'm not just saying everybody who got fired is bad, but what I am saying is if your direct supervisor decides to fire you, chances are things aren't going well. Maybe that's your fault. Maybe it's circumstance. I don't know. I can't say, but I can say that most of the time they don't just go in and do that. Now, why that happened with Hi-Fi Rush, I can't fucking tell you. I genuinely can't. Like, I still sit up at night and wonder, like, what happened with Hi-Fi Rush? Like, that's just, it just makes zero sense to me. Other than,
I could probably tell you. It, you know, Hi-Fi Rush, for all intents and purposes, to us, the gamer, was a success. You know, you guys who played it enjoyed it. Everyone that we know who played it enjoyed it. It was a surprise that came out of the industry where it came out the day it was announced. So, you know, by all means, it was a success. But how were the sales? That's the part that we don't know. Did the sales, you know, match what the budget that they had? Was it break even? How did Game Pass contribute to this? We don't know how the funds worked in terms of getting this game to be successful or not in the eyes of Phil Spencer and the people counting the money. So when they got another initiative from Microsoft where it's like, hey, we need to cut budget for the, you know, Xbox games. So, and that's where the tough decisions come in. It's like, where should we start? And sometimes, you know, you got to decide on ones like Arcane, which, and that's the part, you know, and we had this conversation, you know, years ago where when we're talking about Game Pass, we're like, what determines or what's the barometer for a successful game? Back then when we're just counting sales, it was a lot more easier to quantify that. But, you know, in the era of streaming, it's harder to tell. It's like, oh, you know, everyone that I see online is talking about it, is enjoying it. But is it actually successful? And are we ever going to expect a sequel? And that's the part where it just gets tough. We don't know.
I'm surprised nobody leaked Microsoft's algorithm for determining that value.
Probably because there must be some like penalty of death type of shit for that, you know.
I know what it is. They went and turned off Outlook Express on everybody for about 5 hours or more.
Oh man, yeah. All right, man, let's move on. So Nintendo, one of the only companies, big publishers of the big three, who hasn't been hemorrhaging money, you know, and no layoffs on their part. They're talking about how they're worried that, you know, since the Switch 2, during an investor call, one of their investors said, hey, since the Switch 2 is much more powerful, are games going to cost more? Are they going to take longer to make? Like, what are you guys going to doing about that? Nintendo said that's actually something they've been, you know, considering, and they are going to try to, you know, make it so, you know, they don't go over budget and that they have games have shorter, like development times, which is a good thing. It'd be nice if more companies had this discussion, to be honest, you know, but does it make sense for Nintendo? Like, they're always kind of watching their pocket pretty tightly. If Chris is here, he explained it better. But it's Reason I bring this story up is because it's nice to hear a company actually say that. You know, it's like, oh yeah, no, we're taking that shit into account. We're going to be serious about it. And again, Nintendo, you know, where everybody's laying people off, Nintendo had to lay anybody. And this is also the same company when the Wii U was underperforming. All the top executives took 50% pay cut because they didn't want anybody laid off. They're like, no, we'll just take the pay cut. And they're
unlike Microsoft, though, they just literally end everybody. Like Phil Spencer could have took a pay cut, right?
Yeah.
Every one of those executives could have taken a pay cut and saved a bunch of those.
Nadella, jobs. You know, Microsoft, yeah. come on. But yeah, Nintendo, remember, you know, our boy Iwata did the same thing. Half, like, no pay cut, don't pay me nothing, you know? Go ahead.
Because Nintendo runs pretty lean, right?
Yeah. Brett, you're roboting again.
Well, I'm trying to decide. Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Keep talking for a little bit.
Now.
Wait.
Hold up. Y'all on my left side right now, I'm trying to figure out where the receiver is because the receiver goes through my brain. Doesn't work as well. So can you hear me now?
Yes.
Or when I turn this way, is this the way to hear me better now? This is number two before was number one.
They're both sounding good at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Nintendo pay cuts.
They run.
Oh, Nintendo pay cuts. Nintendo runs. I think Nintendo runs pretty lean.
Yeah.
They have as much staff as what Microsoft just fired.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I don't think that there's a lot of, and like from my understanding, and I could be completely wrong about this. When I look at Nintendo, the management structure seems to be the big head creative directors seem to be in pretty much constant contact with the boots on the ground developers. There does not seem to be seven layers of managerial insulation between the two. And I find that interesting because it seems to be, and I wish Chris were here because he'd probably correct me and say that's absolutely wrong. That you have to talk to nine people before you ever talk to Iwata, but like it seems more like, you know, if you're on the Kirby team, like everybody on the Kirby team seems to know each other. It's not, you know, the typical office space, you know, I have five bosses and none of them know each other kind of thing. So I don't think Nintendo's ever going to have to lay off those people because they don't have those people to lay off. They have highly efficient people working for them for 10 hours a day. The week have already died.
Yeah. But yeah, that's good on Nintendo. But of course, where there's the yin, there's the yang. In other Nintendo news, the FBI took down a Nintendo piracy website. I'm not making this up. they're called NSW2U, and they got to... taken out by the FBI. Let me read this real quick. This is from Kotaku here. One of the biggest Nintendo Switch piracy sites around has been taken down by the FBI as, quote, part of a law enforcement operation, end quote, on Thursday. The group in question was one of the better known repositories for Switch ROMs online, allowing people to play games on hack switches or emulators on PC without legally purchasing the games themselves. This domain has been seized by the FBI in accordance with a seizure warrant issued, a bunch of legal crap. Reads a notice not posted on the website when you visit the URL. It says the FIOD, a Dutch agency that investigates financial crimes in the Netherlands, was also involved. Damn, going global with this shit. According to users on the Switch piracy subreddit, the site was still active earlier today, with many claiming to have downloaded games within the last few hours. The site was first added to the EU piracy watch list back in May of this year. The FBI and Nintendo did not immediately respond to a request for comment. So yeah, Nintendo is partnering with the FBI to take down piracy websites. Bro.
Yeah, that's weird.
Nintendo, man. Fucking, you know, they're brutal. They're
always playing hardball.
Yep.
Like, I mean, like we keep all our employees, but don't fucking mess with our games.
We got to pay these motherfuckers. Don't take my money.
Bro, I love the, I'll be honest, but I can say this shit, so I'm going to start to say it. I absolutely love the idea that, oh, if we can't own anything, then piracy isn't stealing.
Wait, say that again? If we don't own anything?
If we don't actually own our fucking games.
Oh, yes. Okay. I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. Cause,
and I know you could say that you could like sneak into a movie theater and that's kind of like stealing watching a movie, but I only count I count stealing as, you know, when you somebody does not have something. And statistically, pirating games only lead to them making more money. Look at other people.
Yeah, there's been studies about that. It's true.
So, it seems like Golden Age of Piracy is back, boys.
Yeah.
I don't fucking understand how Nintendo is getting so much fucking heat, or maybe it's just the echo chamber that I live in. Every video I see on Nintendo is people hating on them. Every video I see is them talking about how Nintendo is basically bullshit. They're greedy sons of bitches, and most people are walking away. Yet I know they're doing record numbers, but like, I just don't understand how they, like, are you guys, do you guys know a lot of people that have a lot of great goodwill towards the Switch too? Because
shout out to Toonmaker. Shout out to Toonmaker. You know, no, but you're right. Within my personal circle, nobody really cares about Nintendo, but we live in a bubble, you know. Admittedly, because obviously the Switch 2 or Switch 1 was very successful. This new console is successful already, so we're not part of that crowd, you know, clearly.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how long it keeps the sales up for after it dropped the order for the Act.
I will say this, Brett. How many people do you personally know that aren't children that play Fortnite?
None.
Yeah, and that's probably Adam the biggest Bill. Game. Yeah, Adam. Yeah. But and that's the biggest game on Earth, you know? So my point is like we live in our own little silos when it comes to this stuff. I mean, think about it like this. There's literally artists and YouTubers out there with millions of followers that you've never heard of, that I've never heard of, you know?
Yeah, but I also know at least five people who own a Switch who are not buying the Switch too.
Yeah, so that's something.
So like that. Yeah, I mean, I get that that's anecdotal, but, like, I don't live just in a bubble of just, like, people who don't like a Switch. Like, I own a Switch. My girlfriend owns a Switch. My best friend owns a Switch. I know for a fact none of us are getting the Switch, too. Everybody else I've talked to, they're like, yeah, I'm not really feeling it. So it's there's that. But, like, also, honestly, and again, maybe this is my bubble, a lot of the YouTube videos I come across. Now, granted, yeah, Switch 2 is great, probably in the news, but it seems like there's a lot of debate going online, and there's a lot of mixed feelings. There doesn't seem to be the universal praise that Switch 1 had.
Yeah, to be fair, sure though, a video that says Nintendo in trouble, Switch 2 failure, is going to get a lot more clicks than Nintendo Switch is the greatest system ever. That's just how way it is, you know?
Yeah, Sam, unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah. Now, those guys need to think a little bit outside the box, but not too outside the box. It should be like Nintendo Switch 2, you know, mega success kills PlayStation 5 and Xbox. Then you'll get some clicks, you know? That's how you do it. That's free advice for you motherfuckers.
I see more like people really mad at this being great.
Brett, can you switch to the other mic? No, I want to test something. Talk with the other mic?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay. Now talk with that one for a little bit. I need you to talk.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, talk with that one for a little bit. I want to test something.
All right, I'm using my other mic right now, which is just my laptop mic. I can do this now.
That sounds a lot better.
Yeah, okay. Well, you see, Gretchen's laptop has an excellent cooling system, which means it sounds kind of like a low-flying drone. And so I like to have the headphones on. She has just gone to bed, so I'm free to use this. Bro, we got a great setup going. Since you know I had my back surgery, I got one of those little like hospital tables because we got one of those reclining beds.
Nice.
And we've just turned them into like side by side gaming setups.
Yeah. By the way, let me check something. Yep. There's echo.
God damn it. All right.
Yeah. We tried.
Give me a minute.
Yeah. Wait. Oh well. Anyway. Does anybody else have anything to say about this Nintendo FBI raid?
Yo, man, they're jumping on people like ice, yo.
That's it, you know? La migra, son, you better run. Coming for that ass. But yeah, no, Nintendo, you know, like we always say, they're a bunch of gangsters. Like the Hutts, right, Manny?
Yep. I mean, you know, people don't realize the history. They used to make Hanafuda cards. That was a
Yakuza.
That was Yakuza. It's Yakuza shit. You know, they have there have been stories of, you know, mysterious, like back in the day, you know, screwy people going into Nintendo. So they're going to be cutthroat.
Oh, man.
They got that DNA in them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. What's up?
But one thing to know about Yakuza, just like the way Nintendo runs, it's more about the people, right? If you do right by the company, you do right by the people. They'll try to keep you there as long as possible.
That is true.
Otherwise, you get discommunicated like Gunpei Yokoi.
I was just about to say that. They do. You do right by them. You're cool. But if you fuck up, Gunpei Yokoi. You know.
Yep.
Gunpei Yokoi, man. One of the greatest innovators in gaming history gets a fucking window seat because of the Virtual Boy. Ain't that something?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
If you don't know who Gunpei Yokoi is, look it up, man. Game Boy, like, come on, son. Like, the father of Game Boy. That alone, you know, among other things. This guy was a fucking genius, right? But he had that one stumble, window seat for you, you know?
Yep, and that's why he left. He left because he got tired of sitting window seat.
Looking crazy. All right, let's move on here. This one's kind of interesting. So Capcom was supposed to hold a presentation, talk about the development of Monster Hunter Wilds at some event called SEDEC. Oh, am I hearing myself? Yeah, I am hearing myself. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Brett. Anyway, they were going to have this, talk about, you know, how they developed the game, the performance and all that. And they had to cancel it because they fear of, you know, harassment. Because obviously, you know, the game runs fine on consoles. PCs, not for a lot of people, unfortunately. You know, if you guys saw the reviews on Steam, have gone all the way down. Not really because, like, the core game, like, you know, the content and shit. Even though there's some of that, it's mostly because people are airing their grievances over how just badly optimized the game is. And Capcom, and I'm guessing because they've made so much fucking money off already, they're not in a hurry to fix this shit. But they obviously know what's happening because they're going to have this developer talk and they had to cancel it because they fear of, you know, what may happen when real people get in there, you know?
All right. How's this one?
All right. Let me talk for a little bit. Oop. Nope. We're good. We're good. No echo.
Yep. We good?
Yep. Yep. All right.
How's the mic sound on this one, by the way? This is like a $400 set of headphones.
It sounds like a headset, but you know.
Yeah, it sounds like headsets.
But
it's mostly audio quality on my end, I think.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. But Brian, I want to get your thoughts, because are you playing Monster Hunter on PC or PlayStation? I forgot.
PlayStation,
okay. We got to talk to our boy Sketch about this. He's playing on PC. But yeah, Brian, what's your thoughts on, you know, the whole Monster Hunter PC optimization, you know, kerfuffle?
They need to fix this shit. Simple as. I don't know why they don't address it. I mean, if that's... It just makes no sense. Like, if this is what people are complaining about, then surely you'd want to address it and say, okay, you know what, we've heard your concerns and we're going to look into it. And that's all you have to say. You know, and they leave it at that, and then people will eventually just be quiet.
Yeah. It's disappointing, but like I said, I really think it's because they sold so much. You know, they're like, we don't care. But that's fucked up. You shouldn't do that, you know? But you're right. The fact that they're not saying much. I mean, I haven't heard any big statements from them. I could be wrong, but I haven't heard anything like that. Like, we're going to address this. I haven't heard that. So I don't know. That's disappointing, man. All right. And the last thing I want to talk about, and like I said, kind of slow week, you know, but, you know, some stuff. So a few weeks ago, I believe it was, or actually a week ago, time is crazy now, you know, Sega's boss made a statement about how he wants to bring Sega back to the glory days. Right. And then somebody kind of, you know, and then, like, you know, people started, because it was a long interview and some quotes from that are still coming out. But basically he says that, you know, because when he said that, people were like, oh, shit, we're going to get a Dreamcast too. You know, it's not necessarily hardware. It's more about that. If you guys remember, right, Sega was kind of like the punk rock of, like, the gaming back in the 80s, right? Sega does what Nintendo don't and shit. It's really about that. They said they want to bring back that 80s and 90s Sega spirit, that edge that the company used to have, right? Which is kind of cool. But here's the thing. There's a real reason I want to talk about this. Because when the original statement first came out, people were like, yeah, man, Sega need to come back. We need the glory days. I'm like, have you guys not been paying attention? Sega's been cooking for like a good 10 years now. It's not the Sega you remember, but they're still doing great. Yakuza has been killing all the time, and fucking the Persona games, and even those fucking shitty 3D Sonic games are always making money. Sega is doing very well for itself, you know? I don't know about, like, the whole console thing. Maybe they could release a handheld like everybody else's, but I don't think they need to do that. They're making enough money, you know? Like, you never hear about Sega laying people off, you know? Or see, hear them in dire straits. That was the case before, obviously. But if they want to basically take their current success and kind of bring back some of that, like, fun edge that we used to get, I'm down with it, you know? I'm really happy that Sega's, like more embracing its past as well. Because, yeah, we had the Yakuza games and all that. But remember, they had that presentation a couple of years ago. It was like, we're bringing back, Shinobi. We're bringing back, Altered Beast. We're bringing back all this shit. And slowly but surely, we've been seeing these games dropping, you know? I love how they even said, we're bringing back all these classics and more. You know what that and more was, right? Virtua Fighter. So they're coming back, man. Bring back Sega Rally, though, because now you're getting cooked by these other guys. Manny, remember that video I sent you? It's like old school racing or some shit like that. Yeah. You know, it's like straight up Sega Rally, even though I was like, you guys didn't go far enough, though. Like, there's no popping in this game. Like, you need to have the popping if you want to really make it like Sega Rally, you know? But yeah, no, I'm personally not upset with where Sega is. It's a different entity right now, but they're doing pretty well. You know, and as we've said many, many times, the Sega that you knew that made the Dreamcast doesn't exist. So they can't bring back the band, you know, but the band you currently have is pretty good. Good members, you know, so I'm not complaining. Keep it coming. good stuff. I think they're, you know, better state than Konami. Konami's trying, though. They're trying.
I mean, they got a Silent Hill game that did well. They have a Silent Hill game that people are interested in with at Silent Hill F, and they got Metal Gear Solid.
It's gonna be good, yeah.
Delta coming. So I mean, it's all remade nostalgia.
Yeah,
but they got news. They got some things.
So let me read the quote. I'd really like to revive that Sega spirit. Sometime around 2000, even around the 1980s, we were regarded as a very cultural company. If you compare it to the music industry, I believe Sega brings rock and roll. In the arcade business, we really had a rock and roll mindset and trying to provide new stuff. So nowadays, we want Sega to always be trying something different or respecting the old times. I like that. I like that. And I think they're doing that for the most part, you know? So some good here's some of the titles. Yeah. Yeah. Persona and Like a Dragon. Those are the rock stars of Sega right now, you know? But again, don't sleep on those Sonic games. Those motherfuckers buy those games. Even though I think they're shit. Those 3D Sonic games. But I was playing Sonic X Generations because it's on Switch, you know, and I got sent a review code. I like half the game, the 2D parts, because it's like Sonic Generation, if you guys don't know, it's like you get to play as like old school Sonic and, you know, it's like 2D levels. And then new school Sonic with the green eyes, 3D levels. So yeah, I like half the game, but even the half I like is like the controls are weird. You know, they're kind of slow for like classic Sonic, like doesn't feel right. That's the same problem I had with Sonic 4. If you guys remember that bullshit fucking game. Remember it was episodic? Man, that was a fuck up. Anyway, Sega, do your thing, man. You guys are awesome. And that's going to do it for the show. Like I said, you know, not too much happened this week, but you know, we got to keep the lights going and all that. So, Rich, what is happening with the coalition this weekend?
Well, first and foremost, let me give a shout out to Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. I believe they are still reviewing that show Revival as well as Murderbot. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, took a minute for me to remember the exact name of the show. So, thank you, Carlos. Thank you. Shout out to them because they will be continuing to review those. As for the Coalition, I have been posting up a couple of videos on the Coalition Gaming. I definitely want to thank those that checked out those videos, showed support. That last video did very well. So I will be posting some more things. And what I can say is I have been playing some games that are coming out later this month. Can't really say anything else. I will just say you definitely want to stay tuned to the website and the channel because I will be talking about these games in the future. But yeah, stay tuned.
Good stuff. And Manny, you got anything?
Yes, I certainly do. MGS Con, August 28th in California. Check it out on the internet. I'm a special guest along with most of the cast of Metal Gear Solid at a list of cosplayers of the world, all celebrating in one day alone Metal Gear. So soon we started printing on my books. I got some other little bits of plans. Got to do new artwork, and we're good to go. Also, out on the streets right now, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all 4, 7, and 10. Those are, we got Raphael is the last one. Picked them all up. You can put them all your wall, all three of those, all four of those covers with all the turtles. So that's me and Car Randolph and myself. Also, Power Rangers Prime number 9, or G, by myself. So that's good with VR Troopers, a big old crossover. Power Rangers, VR Troopers, never happened. Let's see, yeah, and there's also quite a bit of other unannounced nostalgia things I keep saying, things I don't exactly, because a lot of this stuff I finished off around the year, and then now, later on, everything. But yes, got a lot of cool stuff coming up future, so stay tuned.
Good stuff. And shout out to Kari. I was like, oh shit, he's tweeting. he just normally retweets stuff. Like, he actually took time to tweet something, you know, because he's not really on the Twitter streets as much as he used to be.
Yeah, he mostly sticks to Instagram, and he's trying to push his push up his Blue Sky. But yeah, every so often, you know, he'll say something on Twitter.
Yeah, but no, it was good to see those covers, like all four of them and stuff. Good stuff. Yep. Yeah. All right, man. We are out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'll show host Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
James Gunn Super Shit is in theaters right now. Check it out.
And of course, Brian Manjoma.
Later, people.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Sunday. Later.
Later.